I heard a whole lot of beeps. Are we all back?
Yes, I think we're pretty much all back. And I, let me again just welcome Scott,
my friend.
Elder Scott. I'm going to mute myself here. Let me introduce Elder Scott Harris and ask that you would each lift him up in prayer as he brings us the sermon this morning. Turn it over to you, Scott.
Thank you, Jerry. I've only been doing this now a short time, and I'm really enjoying meeting with you all over the phone like this. Never dreamed that I'd ever preach over the phone. I want you to kind of hang on to some of the words from, and kind is the wrong word, I want you to hang on to some of the words from Mike's teaching. Going to kind of sit on his coattails here. I want you to think back to the dog licking the hand. It sounds bad to say this, but some of my best relationships have been with a dog. Something that God has taught me is what a dog has that we're capable of having that we don't use, and it very much affects our relationships. It affects our relationship with God and our spouses and our children and our coworkers, everyone. If we could approach God all the time, and this is an easy thing to say, if we could approach God all the time like the dog that comes to worship, all that dog is concerned about is wanting to be with his master. Stop and think about this if you've had. My dogs have never cared how I look, what clothes I wear. They don't care if I speak poorly. They don't care if my nose is crooked or if I'm overweight or if I agree with them in anything in life or religion. They don't care. I take my dog, in and out. And during the day when I'm at work, I put him in a cage. I feed him the same food all the time. He doesn't get a lot of variety. And when I'm tired, he just wants to be with me. He brings me a toy. He wants to play with me. It's all about licking my hand. When I'm mad, things aren't going well, and I'm not in the mood to play with him, he still loves me. Dog has absolute unconditional love. And that's what God has for us. And he gave us this beast and a dog, I believe, to show us. One of the things he's done in this life, all the many beautiful and grand things he's given us, a tap on our shoulder, get us to pay attention so that we might come back like that dog and truly worship him in spirit and truth. We talked about spirit and truth in Sunday school. That spirit and truth is with your mind, might, and strength, with all your heart. But I want to give you a thought with this. The spirit is the way you think. It's what comes from the inside. And you may or may not agree with me on this, but I want you to give it some thought. I want you to try it the next time you go to lick God's hand. When you're at his feet, you go to worship, you begin to try to worship him in spirit and truth. Start noticing, start expecting if this happens or if it can happen, want it to happen. I went to him one time in prayer And I knelt down, and I had some serious thoughts on my mind, and I knew about going to him with all my might, mind, and strength. I knew about worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And I decided to sit there, and I decided to use the faith he gave me. And I was going to sit there until I got an answer if it took days. I went boldly before the throne of God, expecting an answer. Part of me, in my humanness, this answer I thought I would get, you know, it would be later. And my answer came immediately. And I think that it came immediately because I had listened to what he taught me about how to come before him. And it is what made it all gel. And I didn't expect the immediate answer, but I want to say this. When I began this prayerful worshiping him in spirit and truth, when I began this relationship in prayer, he walked into my house. Listen to this. I didn't see him, and it wasn't just in my mind, but he came through the wall. I knew he entered my room. I can't explain it to you. I can't make you understand it. But God entered my building. And then he entered me. The spirit that we are to worship is more real than our flesh. I want you to give this some serious thought. You're trying to worship him in spirit and truth. His spirit is a real entity, more than just how you think or he thinks or the communication between your brain and his being. It is a reality that spiritually, think of this word, is touchable. And I was fully aware that he walked into my house, if you will, and then walked into me, separate from my thinking, and then became, like it talks about in Scripture, we were one. And then some amazing things happen. And there's not time in this sermon to go into that. But he blessed me that night. The reason I wanted to continue from Sunday school as I go into what I'm going to preach about is because we need that attitude like the dog has. And we need that communion with God where he can walk into your heart. Or we can't even begin to do the rest of this that I'm going to talk about. We need to take time out from our busy day, from all that we think, all that we do, all that gives us trouble and worry and fret. And we need to gain the comfort and control and peace of mind that only God can give us. And if it was not for that in my life, I would lose my mind. I don't know how people make it through life without it. I really don't. I want to ask you a question. And know something. I didn't know what I was going to preach. And as I thought about it, I asked God about it. What should I preach? And he gave me a thought. Gave me a thought. I knew he gave me the thought, and I thought about it. And some other thoughts came along, and I hadn't studied yet. I thought about it. When the moment came to sit down and open the scriptures, it all fell in place before me. And I love it when that happens. The things I was thinking showed up as I turned the pages. And I knew that God had given me these thoughts because as I went to my book to search out the thought process that God had given to me, I was reading the words. So I knew God had given this to me. Benny made a comment, I think it was last week, made a comment to us about not fully knowing a certain individual in our group or us, not knowing what talents we totally have, not knowing what we could bring to this group. And I have to agree with Benny on that. You know, I remember Benny and Jerry and Marie and Johnny. I've got memories of them as a child. I grew up around them and with them. Johnny and I share the same birthday. My earliest memories of the Case kids, if you will, was a time when I lived in Ames, Iowa, and I couldn't have been 8. I know I wasn't 10. My parents traveled down to Kansas City, and I entered a Sunday school class in the old church building, and Irene Case was teaching it, and I remember that to this day, Benny and Marie sitting in that class. And that memory's always stuck in my mind, and I think of it often. And the class was on forgiveness. And I grew up around Benny and Marie and Jerry and Johnny and all the other kids when we finally moved down to Independence. But you know what I don't know? Even though you think you know something or someone, I know I don't completely know all of you. I don't know what's going on in your life as much as I could. I don't know what the current worries are that Benny has. I don't know what the current worries are that my kid has. I don't know what problems Jay Paul is having in his business. You know, but here's my question. What is your grief or your worry or your stress or your unforgiveness that robbed you and steals you of the peace of God? Steals from you the peace of God. What is it that so painfully takes you away from Him from time to time? And it happens to us all. I lose my focus many times because the pressures of life knock me off my feet. All of you right now, I want you to think about it. What is the one thing, and there may be several, but what is the one thing that weighs you down right now? It is my desire today to at least help the Lord, who doesn't need help, to convey His desire and why God sent Him to us. When Jesus walked into Nazareth, on a given day, he was handed the Word of God. Now, the Scripture doesn't say it like that, but that's how I'm going to say it. He was handed the Word of God, and he read from the book, and he expressed what is his desire and why God sent him. You don't have to turn to these things, and I'm concerned about my time, so I'm probably going to click along here. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." This is Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Are you brokenhearted? Are you captive to something you need deliverance from? Is there something that keeps you from being like that dog that can kneel down before the Lord and simply lick his hand and want to be with him? Is your focus so taken away from him that you can't do that? I remember one time as a kid, I was talking with Benny. And Benny, you probably remember, maybe you won't. Benny made the statement, he said, "The time that's the hardest for you to pray is exactly when you need to be doing it." when you're down and out, things aren't going well, sit there expecting to get an answer. Expect God to walk in the room. And don't leave it alone until He does. Because the worries and the frets and the fuming you do and all the pressures of life are sent to you by the enemy to knock you off your feet and take away your focus, which will take away your peace, which will ruin your relationships that Mike was talking about. It'll flat destroy marriage. Jesus gave commandment to His 12 apostles, and then He went out and He preached in cities across the land. And His servant John heard about it from prison, you remember? He inquired of it, and the word got back to Jesus, and Jesus sent two of His disciples out. He said, tell them what I'm doing. He gave confirmation that it was He, the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 7, it reads like this. Now, these two servants went out to go talk to John and let him know. And it says, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is He of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this Elias, which was for to come. Listen to these words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. They didn't understand, did they? The people weren't like the dog licking the hand. They probably definitely did not understand the word worship. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Can you hear God talking to you in that spirit and truth? Do you stop long enough in your day to listen? How does He talk to you? When does He talk to you? When do you talk to Him? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus later speaks of disapproval of these cities and places where people live and how sinful they are and how they couldn't receive the mighty works that were done in the day. And he speaks of these other places that we consider to be, you know, you hear of Sodom and Gomorrah, how awful a place Sodom was. And yet he said, if those mighty works had been done in Sodom, they would have received it unto this day. And yet that these first places he spoke of, they didn't have the ears to hear. They would not embrace it. And yet the mighty works were done among them. And Jesus spoke in the parables he did so that those that would not to be like the dog would not be able to understand. You ever notice somebody that maybe they're retarded, maybe they're not very well educated. You ever notice that type of person seems to almost be a better servant than the rest of us? I've seen it more times than not. And I've noticed the people that are all-knowing, powerful, and educated, almost a curse to them. They're too smart for their own good. They can tell you about all the things of this world and what you need to do and what you shouldn't do, how to balance your budget, and you know, how to do everything right in life. But their focus is not on God. Their focus is not like the dog. The focus definitely is not about relationships. In Matthew 11, verse 25, says, Father, I thank, it says, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. He thanked God for that. And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And all things are delivered unto me of the Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. It says here, no man knoweth. Do you know him? Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Do we kneel down and lick his hand and let him enter our house and enter our heart so that we are one that he's revealed to? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The question again, what is your grief or your worry or your stress or your unforgiveness? Do you think you've forgiven somebody and you really haven't? It will be a thorn in your relationship with God. It will be a thorn in all that you do. And God can take that unforgiveness away by licking his hand, humbling yourself, allowing him in, and letting him tell you, let it go, let it go, let it go. Because you see what we need? We need that rest. We need that rest to our souls in order to have the relationships that Mike was trying to tell us about. I mess up most of the relationships in my life because I lose focus. And in the morning, my dog comes up to me and licks my hand. God reminds me, notice the unconditional love he has. Doesn't care what you look like. Doesn't care what you smell like. Except that he recognizes it's your smell. Have you ever smelled God? That's an odd question, isn't it? Do you recognize him when he walks into? Can you feel it? Come unto me, all ye that are at labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4, I'm going to read what you've heard over and over and over and over about the seed that was sown. I'm going to ask you first, what did all of these people who actually are different in how they handled this seed, they all handled it different, but what did they all do that was the same? Luke when much people had gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. Jesus told them this parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside. This is the first group. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell on a rock. There's the second one. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. Here's the third one. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, sprang up. This is the fourth one. And bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Listen to this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You know why? Because they came to lick the hand. They were like the babe. Unto you was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word. That which we read in our scriptures is the word. When we commune with God in spirit and truth and he blesses us, that's the word. God is the word. Jesus is the word. All of it fitly joined together is the word of God. All the grandeur and glory and majesty that God shines upon you, that you might know him, that you might desire to come and lick his hand, is the word. Those that fell by the wayside, listen to this, those by the wayside are they that hear. And cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation fall away. How many times have we seen that? In the short life we've lived in the Church of Christ, how many have we seen fall away? I've seen many. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. You know, sometimes it's the pressures of life and the fretting and the fuming and the worries and the things that within my first question, it chokes it all out. And you lose your focus and you lose your peace. And you no longer come with the dog to lick the hand. But that on the good ground day, which in an honest and good heart, there's the difference, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in might see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which seemeth to have. What did they all do that was the same? Go ahead.
They all heard the word to start.
Yes. Have you ever read this and thought that hearing was the key? Everybody hears, guys. Everybody hears. There won't be one of us that's going to stand before the judgment bar of God that will be able to say, in our right mind, that's not, you know, maybe mentally challenged where they're not capable. No one will be able to stand before the judgment bar of God and say, I didn't hear, Lord. I didn't know. Why didn't you tell me while you're gnashing your teeth? There won't be one that will be able to say, I didn't hear, Lord. They all heard. Everyone hears. But do we come to him like the dog with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and then bring it forth with fruit and patience? And the only way to do that is to come to him like the dog. If we don't come to him and we don't get away from our day and our fret and our fuming and our fussing and our unforgiveness and all that steals from us, we don't get away from that. All we're going to do is hear. We won't be able to hang on. It is amazing how well my day goes, even if it's a nightmare day. I remember on the way to work in my car, I allow my heart to kneel down and say, God, help me with this day. And I can't do it. And I can have a nightmare day, and it's like, it went okay. How did the nightmare day go okay? Because it went okay in my heart. And I'm saying all this stuff, and I'm preaching it, and don't think for a minute that I haven't failed many times. I'm so talking to myself today. Don't think that I haven't failed many times. God told me something one day. I've never told anybody this, I don't think. God told me something one day. And I got to put it in my words because he told me in the spirit of my mind. And I don't know how to tell you like he told me. But in a human way, it's like he said, God, take a look at all the problems you've had and all your fretting and your fuming and your fussing. And look at all the stuff that's happened to you. I had all that happen to you so that you would understand. You went through some of the stuff you went through so you would understand. So one day when I called upon you, you could tell somebody else. That's what I'm doing today. That's my desire. I'm not sure I'm going to get through all of this. My desire is to at least feebly help the Lord take time and stop and refocus your relationship with God and do it every day and go with his hand. Kneel down, tell him you want to be there. And when you do, he's going to enter into your heart. You may even notice him walk through the walls. I know a man that got to see cloven tongues and fire. They came together. They prayed in a room. They saw the Spirit of God in the form of fire like you read in Scripture. I know somebody that happened. And I believe it. I believe it. I'm going to go to 3 Nephi chapter 5. And it came to pass, there was a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple, which is in the land Bountiful. And they were all marveling and wondering one with another, and were showing one to another the great marvelous change which had taken place. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of whom the sign had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice, as if it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, and they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice, nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it did pierce them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. I've experienced that. I've experienced it where it caused me to shake, where it caused me to be fully aware that God had walked into my room. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. Again, the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. As they did open their ears to hear. And their eyes were towards the sound thereof, and they did look steadfastly towards heaven, and from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard, and it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. It came to pass that they understood, and they cast their eyes up again towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven, and he was clothed in white robe, and he came down, and he stood in the midst of them, and the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand, and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come into the world. Behold, I am the light and the life of the world. I have drunk out of the bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and I have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. He knows all your worries and your frets and your fuss and your unforgiveness and the whole nine yards, because he died for them. You can lay him at his feet and cry aloud, apply the atoning blood of Jesus. God, help me. Help me to understand how to worship you in spirit and truth. He will do it. Jesus Christ is faithful to keep that which you've committed unto him against the day. And as Maynard Case used to say, and I don't mean maybe. He is faithful. And it said, and it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should show himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. Folks, they heard. Their ears were open and they heard. Don't have a lot of time. I got to think here what I need to. I'm just going to try to read these. I want you to put them in your heart. I want you to think about them. Write this down. Whatever you got to do. Go back and read 3 Nephi chapter 5. This first one is verse 32 through 43. Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, I will declare unto you my doctrine. This is it, my doctrine. And it is the doctrine which the Father hath given me. And I bear record of the Father. And the Father beareth record of me, and the Holy Ghost beareth record of the Father and me, and I bear record that the Father commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe in me. When's the last time you had a come-to-meeting, church meeting with you and God? Knelt down and just asked forgiveness. Where you asked for your heart to be healed. Where you asked for the peace back. Where you repented. And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me. For he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Been there, done that. And I know many of you have. And when he visited me with the fire and the Holy Ghost, it cleansed me from everything, and my peace was back. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record unto him of the Father and me. And the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say to you, you must repent, become as a little child. Remember the babes were the ones that we're able to hear. As a babe or a child has to rely on the parent, has to rely on the father, can recognize that that's where their source of everything comes from. But when we grow up, we move away from home and we've got our own way of thinking. We stop listening to God, don't we? Become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or you can in no wise receive these things. And again, I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine. And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. And who shall declare more or less than this? I like that. And establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock. But he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such, when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Therefore, go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the end of the earth. Folks, this is his doctrine. He is the truth. Worship him like the dog does and know this is the truth. And in 3 Nephi 12, verse 25, behold, I give unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to judge of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. For this cause as I have been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. If ye endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at the day when I shall stand and judge the world. Folks, they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, your comforter, the comforter. He that endureth to the end, the same as he that is hewn down and cast. He that endureth not unto the end, same as he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. This is the word which he hath given unto the children of men, and for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins, faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, and that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. I've got one more little short thing to end with here. Pay close attention to it. The first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments. And the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins, it makes us like Jesus. It bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And what happens? Because of the meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost. And your relationship with God will blossom. Which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come, and all the saints shall dwell with. Take time today to go to him like the dog. Have him teach us, teach you how to have that unconditional love for yourself, for your children. And it's not easy. But God can change your heart to make it easy. When you're having a nightmare day, it could not seem like a nightmare because God's working on the inside. That's where I'll end it, guys. I hope there wasn't. I didn't notice any static. I hope I was able to convey all my thoughts and my prayers that God would be with you and that we would make it. We'd be able to stand before that judgment bar of God and hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful." With that, Jerry, I'll give it back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Scott, what was the last scripture? Where were you reading?
I apologize. That was Moroni, chapter 8, verse 29.
Thank you. And I'd like to say hallelujah. Thanks for, I feel like God blessed us today with the Spirit.